Okay, close enough.
My final talk this afternoon is Connecting Technology and Culture, Overcoming Obstacles in the Teaching of Hawaiian Intonation. So, hand over to you.
All right. Aloha, everyone. Aloha nui hoi kako, e awo, o kaliko Beamer Trap, he haumana, he limahana, a he kumu ma kahaka ula o ke elikolani ma hilo. My name is Kaliko Beamer Trap. I'm a student, a teacher, and an employee of kahaka ula o ke elikolani. I do everything over there, all aspects of being a person in the college. I'm one of them. So one of the things that really fascinates me, that has been fascinating me for many years, that is since 2010 when my attention really turned to this in earnest, is prosody. You may ask, what on earth is prosody? Well, it's a good thing I have a slide about that. So what prosody is people commonly think of intonation, in a sense, the pitch, the melody of speech. But prosody is a collection of several aspects of speech. It's not the words that we use, it's the way we use our voices. One of the elements of prosody is the pitch in your voice. Whether you go very high or very low, that is going to change how your message is perceived. And so that's why it's important to know how to use the pitch. And pitch can change the meaning. Also, the intensity of the voice. How loud it is, or sometimes how soft it is, can actually change your message. It's not the words, as I said, it is the actual way you're using your voice. Rhythm is also a very important aspect of this, because if you have the right rhythm, you can let people know that you are listing a series of words and ideas. Right there's the rhythm. It's important that we use rhythm in our speech to give people the understanding that we really want to get across. And the same thing with the speed. If you talk very fast, well, then that might have a certain meaning. Or sometimes you want to speak very slowly so people actually hear what you're saying. And then there's the vocal quality. You know, oh, that's really amazing. Come and look at this over here. There's a vocal quality change there. And that vocal quality changes the message. And so what we talk about prosody is how the message that we are communicating is changed by how we're using our voice, not lexically or grammatically, but with these other aspects. And these things are measurable. As you can see, there's a little picture there. We can actually measure this using technology. We have, since the 1950s, various methods of trying to measure these things, mostly pitch. People are very interested in pitch, that is speech melody or intonation. And so there have been various methods. And it wasn't until really the 1990s that people like you and I, average folks, could take a computer and actually look at contours, mostly pitch contours, as I said. And nowadays, with personal computers like we have here, we can watch in real time the display of pitch, of intensity, and other aspects of speech. We can watch it pass by our eyes in real time. And this is fantastic for learning prosody, learning how to speak and use prosody from various languages. Every different language is going to have a different way of using prosody. And so here what we want to say is that it influences how we speak. It influences the message. Sometimes you can make a thing a question, you know, just by raising up to the end everything you happen to say. It's really annoying a lot of the time, especially in America today. We hear this a lot, where you go up at the end, even though it's a statement. Yeah, that's confusing, but you can see that by changing the intonation, whether you have a rise or a fall, let's say at the end of a phrase, you can say in English whether that is a question or a statement, and also for commands and so on. Other things are irony, sarcasm, the way you use your voice, the way you use prosody. You can create focus of certain words or certain ideas by using prosody in your voice. That's the focus, in a sense, the focus word. And also, so what prosody allows us to do is to take the entire message that we want to communicate and take grammar, the vocabulary, and then we have the prosody that goes along with it. So that's what really lets our message get through. Now, the intent of my study for this last 9 years now has been to analyze the characteristics of conversational Hawaiian produced by L1 speakers, that is, native Hawaiian speakers. And how can we study that intonation, that timing, the pauses, the speed, and so on, the voice quality, to come up with certain patterns that we can say, these are Hawaiian ways of saying things. It's different from English, different from French, different from Maori, different from Tahitian. And what is it that makes Hawaiian, Hawaiian prosody? And when we've done that, how can we use those things to teach in the classroom? How can we use that and local knowledge to teach prosody in the Hawaiian language classroom, which is my main area of interest? So in the big picture, if we can do this in individual classrooms, let's say at a university or a classroom of kids at an immersion school, that's going to help the overall teaching of Hawaiian language for everybody here in the state. It can improve speaker proficiency. So kids in the immersion schools all the way up to university, as well as students in the community and students elsewhere, can really improve the quality of their Hawaiian. It's not just the vocabulary and the grammar and this pepeke and that pepeke. It's going to be also how you use your voice to get the message across in a real Hawaiian way. And of course, I want to be able to supply methods of teaching intonation and an example library of speech contours that students can memorize easily and use, reproduce on the fly quickly. We also, I'm thinking, would be great if in radio, in television announcements, go to the airport announcements, all those kind of places, in the news perhaps, with Hawaiian language news that, you know, that we hear once in a while, hopefully we'll hear more of that in the future, that can be put into a Hawaiian way of saying, what is that? If we were listening to the news in 1860, given by native speakers telling each other news, what would that have sounded like? I'm interested in that. And I'm interested in bringing that forward to today, just like bringing forward vocabulary from those days and grammatical structures, which we do in classrooms. How can we bring forward prosody into the modern time? And they're also taking it on to things like documentary films, into fictional films, animation, and so on, that are coming out in Hawaiian. Obviously, we've all seen certain things like that, including things like Moana just recently. So the intended audience for this is pretty much everybody. So to save time, I will just load these up, and you can see that I want to affect as many people as possible with this. You know, of course, undergraduate students, we want them to be proficient in Hawaiian when they pop out as BA. And then as they become graduate students and master's degree students, doctorate students, we want them to be able to speak Hawaiian and incorporate Hawaiian prosody. Also, people who have exposure to Hawaiian Creole English actually have an advantage in some respects, because there's a crossover of intonation from intonation and other prosodical events from the Hawaiian language that got into Hawaiian Creole English or Pidgin English. And so it's helpful to us if we are already familiar with Pidgin Creole English, we can actually rely on some of those patterns of prosody that we already know. And then, of course, for all the other people who want to learn Hawaiian language, up down to the parents of the university, I mean, of the immersion school students themselves, those parents, too, need to know this kind of stuff. So, of course, the benefit to being able to do this, to being able to bring it into a classroom and teach students how to observe prosody, how to hear it, and how to reproduce it. Well, it's virtually uniting these kupuna, you know, the speakers that we were just talking about with Lale, you know, with Larry Kimura and Kani Aina. We have these speakers who were recorded from the 1950s, Bishop Museum, for example, 60s, 70s. We have Clinton Kanahele collection. We have Kaleo Hawaii and all of the other things that are coming onto Kani Aina. This is how we can create a connection between those folks and our students today, is by them listening to these voices, not only for the textual content, not only for the actual stories, but how they are related. How are people talking to each other? And I want to help our students of today have an emotional connection to that, where they love it. They want to listen to more. You know, not like, this is a boring lesson, Kumo. We want to have them, you know, be happy to listen to this. And so we want them to be able to model it back. When they hear a way of saying something in Hawaiian, not only the words and the grammar, but also the prosody as well, to have them be able to mimic that, model it based on what they've heard. And then also, to have an easy way to be able to show these contours and to recall them quickly as the speaker is speaking, that's another trick, and that's what we're hoping is a benefit of this. And then to devise methods of instruction of prosody so that all the teachers around Hawaii can use it, and hopefully other native people as well, who may say, hey, that's kind of an interesting way of approaching it. You haven't seen it yet because it's coming up in a future slide. How can we show these contours in a memorable way? So we have some challenges. And these are common challenges that we see for teaching intonation and prosody in general around the world. It's not easy. First of all, for us here, we have a lack of native speakers. We just don't have people that we can hang out with all day and listen to the way they use Hawaiian. So the solution to that is to use these recordings and videos. Another one is that there's a negative transfer from the L1. So a person speaking English, maybe you think, to say, oh, I really love standing here in front of all you guys and doing this speech. Oh, make make nui awi ke ku ane mo o ko ika hayo lelo. That's a bad transfer of prosody from the L1 to the L2. And we want to try and get away from that. And I think one of the ways of doing that is to put pride into our students, activate their minds that they say, wow, there is such a thing as Hawaiian prosody. And I want to do it. Just as I want to say the words right and get the right pepeke structures, I want to get the right prosody as well. So that's what I'm hoping to build pride through this. Today, in most language classrooms, people don't talk about prosody, let alone intonation, maybe a little bit intonation, but people don't talk about it in classrooms very much. I'm talking about teachers, because we don't know how to teach it. It's very difficult to teach. It's arcane. You look at any of the literature that comes out, academic literature about prosody, about intonation, you can't understand half of what's going on in there. If you're a student or a teacher, you're looking at that, it's gobbledygook. It's so in-depth. How can we bring that out for the students in a more simplified fashion, take that knowledge that comes from the from academic research and use it in the classroom? So we want to teach it explicitly in the classroom and explore more about Hawaiian prosody. You know, in classrooms we have, like, repeat after me. Aia ke keiki make kula. Aia ke keiki make kula. Okay, that's fine. It's a short little repeat after me. That's good. But with technology, we can actually listen in Prat or any of the other visualization softwares. We can listen to these things over and over again, individually with headphones on, and learn the prosody that way. So it doesn't have to be just that one moment in time in the classroom, but these can be listened to over and over again for repeated exposure. Also in language teaching, we find that people generally teach, you know, word or sentence length expressions. You know, in any language classroom, you learn, you know, in French, you know, where is my passport? Or I'd like to get a hotel. You know, it's like out of context, sentences that are just short and don't have anything to do with each other. How many times have you seen textbooks learning a foreign language and the 10 sentences on your exercise have nothing to do with each other? It's difficult to build a prosodical paragraph, if you will, where you have intonation and rhythm and timing and listing and all the other beautiful things that happen in prosody when you have only a sentence, which doesn't have its connected discourse. We want to have more discourse-length utterances emphasized. And we can do that by looking at the curves in things like Pratt. It's difficult to annotate. If you look at any of the literature, how do we actually show that the pitch goes up here and then down here and then it goes straight and then it goes up and then down? It's like, you should see some of the methods that people use to show intonation in the literature. It is really difficult to grasp. So my thinking is, let's simplify it to some curves that we can instantly see and recognize and model. That's same, I've already said this before, theoretical and academic, we can simplify that for classroom use. We also have a problem if we're speaking in the target language to instruct about the target language. So in a native language classroom, if you will, how do we talk about prosody if we don't have words for it? You know, like, what's the word for waveform in Hawaiian? What's the word for tier one in Hawaiian? You're like, I don't know. Well, if you're the teacher, just go for it. Create your words. Hopefully I will be able to provide some for you. You know, that's what I've been working on. But I think for any other native language, whatever native language you're coming from, just go for it and get those words out there. Create the best words you can and use that with the students. After all, we don't want to lose the forest for the trees. Just get out there and do it. And finally, use computer-aided practice, and then also use all the aspects of prosody together, not just pitch. Because there are other things too, like phrasing and pauses and so on. Okay, I know I'm racing through this, I'm worried about my time. So here's an example of one of the solutions that I mentioned, which is, let's create some words for these things. So I created some words in Hawaiian for things like prosody, which I call lawena leo. I think of it as a lavena. If you speak Hawaiian, lavena is like, you know, the way that you move your body, or the proper way that you behave. And lavena kino could be the physical behavior. You know, like I'm doing a speech up here, I probably shouldn't be doing this while I'm doing my speech, right? That's not the right lavena. You know, picking your nose while you're doing a speech. Well, the lavena can be applied to not only physical body, but also to the voice. And so my feeling here is prosody is lavena leo, how we're using our voice in a sense like the lavena. And then I have other words here for these other aspects of contour and rhythm and speed and so on. Now, in the classroom, what really matters is having in a sense, when we look at the technological readouts on a computer of pitch and intensity and so on, you're going to see lots and lots of millions of lines going up and down and up and down. We need to teach the students how to interpret that and how to stylize those contours. Stylization, meaning simplification, so that the important aspects of those curves are what we reproduce. If you look at the actual curve in a computer, you're going to see a million little lines up and down. That's what the computer hears. But it turns out that us as humans really simplify those curves in our own minds. And so that's what we want to get to is teaching. If we're teaching intonation, teaching all the other aspects of prosody, we've got to keep it simple enough so that they want to do it and that they can reproduce it. And how can we use those elements in our communication? That's what we're after. So you can see that on the screen there's a student who was looking at a curve there on the screen. It kind of jumps up and down a little bit, but basically you can see it rises and then it has a fall at the second end of it, and on the top is the waveform. So she's analyzing that and the section of speech in Prat. So what we want to do is think about building up from words where you learn it in first year Hawaiian or first year language. You're going to learn individual vocabulary words and how the word stress happens. You know, like makemake, not makemake or makemake. You know, you know how to say the word with the correct stress. That's the very beginning of learning intonation of a word. Those words build phrases as you go first year, second year, third year, and fourth year, building up to discourse length. But all the time we need to remember that we need to incorporate prosody into this, because what happens is teachers generally do the first year, you know, you do words and a few little phrases, and that's all you get as far as instruction in how to use your voice melody. And so I think we need to make sure that we continue on that all the way through up to fourth year and beyond. So here's an example. This is really the point of me standing here in front of you, is to show you what I've come up with as far as being able to stylize these contours. Now this one right here is, I call Le'ahi. Le'ahi is diamond head, that's why there's a picture underneath. You can see that diamond head has that kind of shape where it rises up, then there's a drop, and then it runs out to the shoreline in the front. Well, the stylized contour that I've created up the top there in the left, I call Le'ahi. And so for a student, Le'ahi is used for yes-no questions. And so this is, for example, if you in English want to have a yes-no question, your intonation might be, do you want to go to the dance? Da-da-da-da. And it ends with a rise, because it's a question. However, in Hawaiian, there's a major drop at the end, with only a tiny tail of a rise. It's mostly a drop. Makemake oe hele meau. Da-da-da-da-da-da. There is a divot right in the middle. Da-da-da-da-da-da. There's actually a little dip, and so that's why I have that little dip in the middle there. It does occur. I believe it is a relevant dip in the pitch as you rise up. That is an example of a pitch contour. And I can say, Le'ahi. Okay, reproduce it as Le'ahi. Say that phrase, say that long sentence using Le'ahi as your contour. And that's easily memorizable, you know, Le'ahi. Here's another example, Akahipu'u. This is another place. This is on Hawaii Island. Akahipu'u is a place where there's a hill that goes up one side and then down the other, and in this case it's a little bit longer on the tail down. Well, you can see that I put a little pitch curve right from inside of Prat where there was some words spoken, and so this kind of phrase is used for short little expressions. Let me show you an example here. This one is Akahipu'u over and over again in a list. It's often used in listing. So Alewa ikuke anu, alewa pulehu anu, alewa palayanu, alewa lawalu anu. That's what this person says.
Algo kuyen, algo puleduan, algo playen, algo labaduan.
So she's rising and dropping, rising and dropping, rising and dropping. And this is an example there of seeing it on the screen there as the it's shown in Prat. So it's easily modeled. They can say, oh, that's akaipu, you know, a rise and then a tail drop off. And so there are lots of these that I've created for various events that are used in daily speech. And what I'm saying about these is that we can use these not only in single words or phrases, but we can also use them in sentences and even in what they call paratones, which are long, like paragraph length utterances. We can actually use these in any place. And you, it's like Legos. You can build them and put them together and come up with a whole set of them that run one into the other. And so that's the beauty of these, and once you get to know the names of them and the shape of the mountain or the shape of the hill, the actual physical shape of that thing is somewhat represented in a stylized way here using these curves. Now, of course, we have digital repositories like Kani'aina on Ulukau and also the Clinton Kanahele collection. Both of these are my favorite places to go and listen to audio. Bishop Museum also has audio if you can get a hold of it. But online, these ones are great. And you can then analyze to your heart's content and use these curves, teach the students to mimic these things, and it's easy to recall. So in summary, because I know my time is up, it says please stop. the use of Prat in the classroom is really great. It's free, you can download it and put it on your Mac, PC, whatever you want. It's easy to analyze sounds in it. Well, I kind of lied there, actually, sorry. It's not totally easy. There's a bit of a learning curve to learn Prat, and that is one of the difficulties when you're teaching it in a classroom. Usually takes me about 6 class sessions of an hour each to get the students good enough to use Prat to analyze these curves and the intensity and so on. But anyway, once you've learned it, it's a great way to visualize the sound that you're listening to. And then this system of curves, which are related to actual places here in Hawaii, using local knowledge, easily recallable, and in use of our digital archives to be able to get samples of true native speakers and unite those native speakers of the past with us today to bring forward the prosody of the past into the current time. Mahalo nui! You make a mamaka or helmet, yeah, Nini, no come, I call you no maluno key papa. Mamaka or helmet, no kind of Nino. Oh, no, Mali, no, Nikino. Well, does anybody have any questions? I think I have about 6 minutes for questions.
Yeah, something like that, we've got time.
Yeah.
Mahalo, mahalo, ya oi.
Maikai mahalo.
Au, hana nui. I feel as though this would go so well with what I saw in another talk earlier in the conference that was done with the Blackfeet from Montana. And basically the gist of that talk was they created this piece of software that can basically avoid all of that 6 sessions you need to create these things in Prat. Essentially you can feed in any amount of waveform data, and then basically just by selecting which syllables you want to sort of average out the pitches of, it creates that exact same pitch contour that you've been showing that's hand-drawn, either hand-drawn or on prod. It sort of is this nice medium where it's able to actually both sort of like simplify it and make it more appealing visually for students.
Yeah.
So I really, I hope that you're able to get a hold of their software, which I think is already open source. And
I think I met those folks today, because I only just flew in the middle of the day today, but I think I was introduced to them. So,
but I was in that talk and I was thinking, oh my god, somebody did this for Hawaiian. And then I see your talk and I'm like, oh yes.
That's great, yeah, I gotta get together with those guys and we can help each other.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Mahalo. Okay.
Other questions?
If you got questions, just make them easy though, okay? You are the folks that you're talking about, yeah. Okay.
I was wondering about I wanted to get your thoughts on how easy you find it to use pedagogically the Prat itself versus the stylized versions. And one of the things that I've encountered with Prat, and I think Mary has as well, is we work with
You can't see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're lucky in Hawaiian, we have a vowel just about everywhere, you know, like, yeah, it's, it really helps. I wrote some scripts in Prat to try and create simplified curves. Here's an example of my program doing that. I wrote this thing so it draws pictures for me of any piece of text that I select, any piece of the sound file that I select. And so you can see the top blue there is the actual pitch curve that Prat came up with. And then the one below it is mine, where I'm trying to programmatically simplify it. But it is a difficult thing, and you know, I'm looking forward to more developed technology which would be able to look at these sounds and really pick out the pitch curves. However, we have a problem because these old recordings are often full of all kinds of noise. And you know, you've got the dog barking, the chicken crowing, the truck going by and the aeroplane flying over, all which occur in these sound files, the radio thing going or feedback coming in Kaleo Hawaii, which I know is the bane of our existence. And those things really complicate the pitch curves. And so I think for the moment, I try to train my students to be able to filter that out, if you will, and see the real curve and not the noise that surrounds it. It is a really difficult problem, for sure. And I feel a lot for you, full of all those consonants in your language. Yes.
This is really, really important. The Kuchin Athabascan language, our elders would say, don't get away from your language. And it's so important that we learn how we speak our native language. And I once asked the elder teacher if we could speak up and say, Na de gon cha, how are you doing? And she said, just so that they'll hear the sound system, the children will hear the sound system. But she said, I don't teach that way because we don't talk like that. And that's really important that they learn how it's spoken with the tones and how it's spoken, because we don't want to lose that. And another thing that we did, and yet keep it open, because we just made a dialogue. It goes 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, conversation went, but other groups would say we don't talk like that. But I said, rewrite it and do it how it's spoken in your language.
Yes, yeah,
right? Because
yeah.
We don't, this is it, we don't want to lose any of our languages, and however what worked best for you is really
yes.
Good, but stay within the language and don't change it, because that's so important, and that's what our elders have told us.
Right, very good points, and especially, you know, that's what the elders have told us. I feel very strongly that we should try and bring this down from the elders. And it's there in the recordings, it's for us to try and seek that out and study it. And for those of you with lots of consonants in your language, my suggestion might be what was done at what's called the Dutch School of Intonation, where they did lots of studies with creating stylized pitch contours, where the listener comes up with what the listener thinks is the melody, that is then recorded, then stylized, and then play it back to another person who sees if it's what they think it's supposed to be. And that's done back and forth until a stylized contour can be come up with, because it's difficult just looking in Prat, since you're missing so many of the pieces there. Yeah, so, you know, it might be possible to approach it that way.
Seeing the shapes will help you to ho'opa those sounds.
Yeah.
Because I just think, oh, if you play them enough in native speaker recordings, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. They'll pick it up.
Yeah.
And so can you speak to how that works in the mind a little bit, like to see the shape and to hear the sound? And
yeah, sure.
Also, my main question is, how long did it take you, because you must have had to have listened to a lot of native speakers and have some ideas about what these typical patterns were. How long did it take you to find most of them, and do you think that you've captured Kahapa Nui, like the most of the sound forms that are out there?
Yeah.
Or are there a bunch that maybe you don't have? Like, how's that going? How do you gotten most of the science?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like asking, when is your library full of all the books possible? You know, there's probably the best set that you could get, and then hopefully that's enough to start with. There is obviously an infinite variety of ways of producing the voice, you know, the prosody. There's a million ways to do it, because there's so many variables incorporated in producing the speech melody. But, you know, I think that I've come up with quite a number of the very common ones that I heard over and over again. My first exploration of this was I transcribed in Prat 1 hour of Gus Kaleo Hano, who was born in 1886. He was recorded in 1970 in a pretty scratchy recording, but I went through and tried to pick out all those intonation curves that I heard him using, and I started with that as the basis. And then in my classrooms, every semester, I use these files, I make students do the work, and then I look and say, oh yeah, there's one I missed there, or there's another one that I missed here. Now, on the screen, you can see an example just from this semester of a student's work. I asked them to please draw what they heard. This is before I teach them about the contours. You know, before I even introduce that, I said, with your ear, what do you hear? And then they draw this. But it's so basic. It's, some people cannot hear it. It's like, you have to really kind of train your ear to be able to hear how the pitch is going up and down and to be able to draw that accurately. And that's why the first early working transcription of prosodical events was very difficult, because they were using trained people to try and actually draw these things out in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So here is an example of a student before learning about these curves. And then afterwards, you know, they can actually say, oh yeah, okay, I know that, you know, akahipu, okay, you know. And so, yeah, I think it's possible. We just need to persevere and keep on going. We all need to do it together. Put our books together and come up with a big Lahui library of sounds. Well, I think I probably bust the 4:30 time limit, so thank you all very much for being here. Appreciate it.